I would like for you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Proverbs 14. Last week, I shared a message about Israel. God compared them in the book of Hosea to a backsliding heifer. Today, I would like to continue on that subject, or at least that theme, the theme of backsliding, because you know it's warned against numerous times in the Bible. It's something that we all as Christians have to guard ourselves. You know, we're supposed to be marching forward, always forward, as believers. That is, we're growing up in Christ, we're growing deeper in the things of God, we're learning more, and as we learn, we understand that we're called to be more and more Christ-like. So the Christian life, the Christian walk, is exactly that. It's a walk. We begin as Christians when we're born again. You must be born again, Jesus said. We're born again. You begin as an infant in Christ. An infant. So we are as newborn babes to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, 1 Peter 2:2. And we grow through the Word of God by learning, by understanding. We grow, we develop, we mature, we march forward. We become more useful in the hands of God as an instrument of God. But there is also an ever-present danger that we face because we live in a world of temptation. We are supposed to be a holy people, and we're in the midst of an unholy world. We are supposed to be not conformed to this world, but transformed. We're supposed to live different, think different, speak different, act different. We are not like this world. We are to be different. The world never stops, never ceases in its attempt to mold you into its image. Amen. While Christ is always calling us to be transformed into his image, this world wants to mold us into its image so that we act like the world, think like the world, dress like the world, do like the world, behave like the world, have the values of the world, the philosophy or outlook of life like the world. And when a Christian has grown in Christ, walking with the Lord, experiencing the great things of God, it doesn't take long before the world starts calling you back. And it never stops calling. The world never stops calling. It's always trying to pull you back into the old ways, the old habits, the old life, the old attitudes. The world is always trying to pull you back. The devil knows what he's doing. He's got thousands of years of experience, and he's very good at what he does. And so he knows our weaknesses. He knows the chinks in our armor. And his call, his desire, is to get you back into the world. And that is what the Bible calls backsliding. Backsliding, where we have grown, and now the devil's calling you back into the world, and the believer finds himself doing things he had formerly done in his old life. Proverbs, you're in Proverbs chapter 14? I guess it would help if I turn there myself. Proverbs 14, we're going to read one verse, verse 14. Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. King James, he'll be satisfied from himself, or from within himself, or from what is within him. He'll be satisfied from what is within him. The New King James translates it, the good man will be satisfied from above. Another version translates it that the good man will be satisfied with God's ways. So the backslider is filled with his own ways. the good man satisfied with God's ways. We have in this verse a contrast. Two people. Two different people. We've got the backslider in heart, and we've got a good man. Two different people. You with me so far? Amen. They are very different people in many ways. Two different men on two different paths, going two different directions. Amen. And they will both wind up in two different destinations if they continue on their present course. Good man, the backslider. Two paths, two directions, two destinations, two different destinations if they continue on their present course. And you know, there is a law or a biblical principle that applies equally to both, and it applies to us as well, because, you know, our whole idea here is we want to consider our own lives and our own selves, but despite the differences in these two men, two paths, two directions, two destinations, one law applies to them all, and that's what we see here in this passage, and that is we all reap what we sow. Each and every one of us are filled or satiated. We're filled up with what we put into our lives. We're filled up with what we put into our lives, and that for good or evil. Now, I've prepared a little illustration today. I don't do this too often, but today I've got a little illustration. Y'all can bear with me for a second. Thank you, Diane, for letting me borrow your nice dishes here. I've got two clear dishes. I'm going to put in one some pure spring fresh drinking water. Not going to put too much because I don't want to knock it over. The other dish, I went to that porta potty back there, and I got some water from that. Yeah. It's actually food coloring. But for the purpose of our illustration here, it's old nasty gutter sewer water. And I have two sponges. Thanks again, Sister Diane. No problem. Brand new, good man, backslider. Good man, filled with God's ways. Backslider, filled with the world's ways. Put each one in a... Yeah, you know, they both got saturated pretty quick. And here is a simple principle that I want us to remember. The sponge, that's you and me. We're a sponge. We will always absorb what we soak in. We will only absorb what we soak in. This sponge will not absorb this water. It'll only absorb what it soaks in. And this does have a spiritual application to you and me, and I think it's pretty evident. If you are soaking yourself, your mind, your heart, your thoughts, your ways with the filth of the world, that's what you absorb. And you know, that sponge is fully saturated with it. If, on the other hand, what you soak in is the Word of God, the truth, the words of the Lord are pure words, the Bible says. There is the washing of water by the Word, the cleansing effect of the blood of Jesus. If we soak in what is right and true and pure and good, then that's what we are. That's what we become. Now, I think it's important we also know that if I just dipped, let's just say, here's another sponge. I'm using all your sponges. Let's say that I'm not going to dip all the way into this nasty water. You know what the backslider does? They don't usually just jump into the filth full-fledged all overnight. But they dip in it a little bit at a time. They just, you know, I'm just going to dip my little corner in there. I'm just going to dip my toe back into some drunkenness, back into a little bit of dope. I mean, I'm not going to jump in full-fledged, just a little bit. I'm just going to dip a little bit back into the lying, cussing, womanizing, immorality, pornography, whatever it was I used to do. I'm just going to dip just this tiny bit. Well, guess what? Would you want me to take this sponge that's it's only slightly contaminated? Let me wipe your dinner plates with it, your forks with it. No, because you know what? If it's a little contaminated, the Bible says a little leaven does what? Leaven's the whole lump. We're told that twice in the New Testament. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And you know what I've noticed? That little dip in there is now spreading. I just dipped it a little bit, but guess what? It's spreading, and it'll keep spreading because that's what backsliding does. A person who is dipping into the world, you might not feel like, you know, I'm not really sinning all the way. I'm not fully back to what I used to be. But you see that little dip you're putting the corner of your life into? It's spreading. The rest of your life is absorbing the poison of it, the filth of it. So while you may start out with just your language starts slipping a little bit. You're going back to some of the profanity. You're going back to some of the vile talk. Maybe you're going back to, I'm just a little bit of pornography. Not a lot, just a little. Guess what? It's spreading. The backsliding spreads. The contaminant spreads. Until, once again, you're fully saturated. Well, you know, I thought it was a pretty good illustration myself. The sponge will only absorb what it soaks in. And that's you and me. We will absorb what we soak in. So if you're soaking in filth and the gutter and the depravity of the world, that's what you absorb. You know that this is why the Bible says we're to guard who we associate with. The Bible says, don't be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, that's the King James language. What it means is evil associations. Evil associations corrupt you morally. Evil associations will corrupt you morally. That's the lesson. The lesson here is just a little contamination is all it takes to corrupt, to defile. That's why we're warned. Bad company ruins good morals. Stop being deceived. Wicked friends bring you to evil ends. Absolutely. And every time. You're the sponge. Just remember, what you soak in the presence of evil people, wicked people, dope-smoking, drunken, womanizing, porn-saturated, lustful. Guess what you absorb? You know, a person who is sick, let's just say a person has a sickness, an infectious disease. What's the first thing the doctors will do? They'll isolate them from the healthy people. Because you know why? Because contaminants spread to the healthy. It's not the other way around. It's never the other way around. They don't take sick people and say, well, you know, to get you well, I'm going to surround you with healthy people. And their health is going to, you're going to catch it. Well, it doesn't work that way with sickness, and it doesn't work that way with moral depravity. Doesn't work that way with backsliding. You associate with ungodly people, you absorb their ways. You absorb their ungodliness. If one sick person, you get them in a small room and let them cough and sneeze and just spread their contaminant all over. Now, you could have 9 healthy ones, 1 sick one. When they leave there, you got 10 sick ones. Because that's what spreads. The contaminant, the filth, that's what spreads. That's why the Lord tells us, look, evil associations, those contaminants, you will absorb it. It will rub off on you. I don't think anyone here would want to mop their floors with water from the porta potty. You think you could, think you can put that in your house and be clean?
No.
You mop your floors with that, do you think you'd feel good about walking on it or even living in that house?
No.
No. But you know, we wade in the gutter of filth and depravity and immorality, stuff we absorb, the stuff we take into our minds and thoughts. That's exactly what you're doing. You know. You fill your mind with the lusts of the world, the filth of the world. Many Christians have no problem at all viewing nudity, pornography. They think there's nothing wrong with it. There's plenty wrong with it. You're contaminating. You're the sponge, remember. And what you soak in, what you put in, that's what you absorb. Then you become a lustful, lecherous, vile human being. So that you can't even look at a woman without undressing her in your mind. Or vice versa. Because let me tell you, women have become just as lustful and lecherous as men. And just as nasty in so many ways. But beloved, you and me, you know, while that may have once characterized our lives, but now are you washed, you are clean, you are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us. We're not like that anymore. We don't live like that anymore. So don't go back and start absorbing that stuff again. That's what the Bible calls backsliding. Y'all with me? The backslider is like a sponge. It starts with just dipping their toe in, just a little bit. Just going back to some of that self-indulgence, some gratifying, some sensual desire. Doing what they shouldn't do, acting like they shouldn't act, going where they shouldn't go. Just dipping their toe in, but like a contaminant, like blood poisoning, it spreads. You know the little piece of the sponge I dipped in there? Right now it's still absorbing more and more of it. I don't know if you can see it, but we're almost halfway contaminated now. And to be halfway contaminated is to be fully contaminated. I know I don't want you washing my dinner plate with that. You can't keep the contaminant to one part of your life. You let it in, it's in. That's why we have to be on guard at all times. The backslider is like a sponge. And you know, as a believer, we were all filthy. All of us. We were wallowing in the filth of the world. We didn't know it at the time. I mean, many of us thought we were okay until we realized that God's called us to something better, something different. And the Lord cleansed us, He delivered us, removed us from the filth and the mire, changed our lives, and made us brand new creations. Brand new, brand new. Forgiven, forgiven, washed, cleansed.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
So don't go back. That's the idea. We do not go back. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. It's a very dangerous game that the backslider plays, thinking that they can just dip their toe. I'm just going to fornicate a little bit with my boyfriend or my girlfriend. I mean, we love each other, so it's okay. You're dipping a part of yourself into the filthy dregs of the devil's sewer. And you are absorbing this into your spirit. I want us to just be clear as to what it means to backslide. The Bible uses this term to refer to one who is moving away from Christ rather than towards Christ. That's what it refers to. Well, while we are believers, we're supposed to be more and more conforming our lives to Christ and His call to us, His call for us. But instead, the backslider is withdrawing, instead of moving closer, withdrawing, and now moving backwards and going in the opposite direction. You know, back, slide. That's exactly what it means, to regress rather than to progress in the things of God. A backslider is someone who is going back to the old ways, the old patterns, the old habits, the old thought processes, the old values, the old haunts, the old friends. They're going backwards rather than forwards. Back, that's why it's called backsliding. If you slide, if you fall, nobody falls upwards. You always fall back. A climber, a mountain climber, they have reached a height. They have reached a place. If they were to fall, they don't fall up 40 feet. They fall down. You always fall down. It's a backslide. So they reached a point, a pinnacle, a place, and now they have fallen from that place. Spiritually, think about it. That's what it means to backslide. Amen. While once you walked with God, prayer was important. Church attendance was important. The fellowship of the saints was important. Opening up your Bible and taking it in and being washed by the pure water of the Word. That's what you were taking in. Your life was changing. Things were changing for the better. And while you might have still had troubles and difficulties and trials, yet you knew the Lord was with you, the Lord was in you, you had victory, you had peace through it all, things were changing, you had reached a place in your life where you were communing with the Lord and He with you, but then to fall back, you know, the world, boy, it wants to put those big grappling hooks on you and pull you back down. Old ways, old worries, old doubts, old fears, old friends, old snares. And pull you back from that place where you once were. That means to backslide. You're backsliding back into the world. And it's gradual. It's always gradual. It's never overnight. But it starts with the little things. It starts with your mind by allowing your mind to dip back into the filth of the world or the ways of the world, philosophy, values of the world. It's all bile. It's all sewage. But you start ruminating, thinking, meditating, allowing all this back into your mind, allowing all this discontent, allowing anger, allowing unforgiveness. You start with this poison. You're dipping yourself into this sewage. And it starts creeping up. It starts creeping in. It poisons all of you. It's to backslide. Look, you know what happens. First thing you notice is you don't pray like you used to. You don't sing and worship like you used to. You don't get into the Bible like you used to. Your love and fervor for the Lord wanes. You're not even in the church assembly like you used to. These are symptoms. And at the same time, other things are encroaching in your life. You let yourself get busy and occupied with the things of the world, things that don't matter. You let the flesh, the feelings, the emotions dictate to you more than the Word of God. Y'all awake?
Yes.
The backslider loses their resolve to live for the Lord, to be the light. Little bit at a time, their resolve weakens, their resistance to temptation weakens. More and more, they find themselves succumbing to the old ways. You remember that old flash hot temper you used to have? I used to have one. So I remember. I remember I could explode like a firecracker. I was full of myself, full of pride. I was a little peacock. I thought I was something. Until the Lord had to show me, you nothing. Anything you all have or ever will be is by my grace. And he gets all glory and credit for it. But, you know, do you find the old temper coming back? Do you find old language resurfacing? Stuff that you quit saying a long time ago or should have stopped saying a long time ago? Do you find yourself being drawn back to things you shouldn't be viewing? Oh, well, just one old nasty movie, it's not going to affect me. I can watch this stuff and I'm unaffected by it. Actually, just remember, you're dipping yourself into the sewer and you're absorbing it. You are what you soak in. You become what you soak in. You are filled with what you soak in. Proverbs 14:14. Look at this. The backslider in heart. Backslider. The word is translated several different ways in the Bible. It means to turn back, to go back, to fall back, to return to the old ways. The backslider in heart. What will they be filled with? The Spirit of God. No, they'll be filled with their own ways. Their own ways. And a good man will be filled from himself with what God has put in his heart. Be filled with what's above. One version translates it this way. The backslider in heart will be filled with the fruit of his ways, and a good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways. Everyone reaps what they sow. Everyone harvests what we plant. Another version translates it, the faithless one will pay for his behavior, but a good man will be rewarded for his behavior. The New King James, I think I cited it a minute ago, but it says, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. A good man will be satisfied from above. Or as I think it's the God's Word translation says, a good person will be satisfied with God's ways. And I believe that reveals a simple truth also, that the backslider once was satisfied with God's ways. Like a good man is satisfied with God's ways. Brother Vic used to sing a song, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with Jesus. Amen. He said he'd be my comfort, said he'd be my guide, and you know he is. And I'm satisfied. Amen. I'm satisfied. You know, that's the incredible thing about Christianity. You don't have to be rich in this world's goods to be satisfied. Amen. You don't have to be famous to be satisfied in Jesus. You don't have to be a PhD to be satisfied in Jesus. Good man is satisfied from above. And you know, a backslider was once satisfied as well from above. They were once satisfied. But the old things want to creep back in, the old ways, the old discontent, the old unhappiness. They start looking for, always looking for something else. Always, always. Greener grass, you know, the old greener grass. That's the greener grass. Might be greener over there because it's on top of a sewage tank. You know? But you know, you're satisfied no matter what your financial state is if you are soaking in the Word of God, the pure, the right, the true. There's such a contentment and such a peace. No matter what your trial is, no matter what you're going through, you know God's got you. You know you're in His hands. You have such a peace, and you know you can even sing and rejoice and have joy. Even in the midst of trial and trouble and temptation, you can have it. But the backslider, on the other hand, well, they're no longer satisfied with God's ways. They're no longer happy absorbing the things of the Lord. Now they've gone back into the ways of the darkness, and the sponge has dipped again into the sewer. Old things have crept back into their lives and into their heart. It's like the backslidden heifer. We talked about that last week. Israel is a backsliding heifer. Stubborn, rebellious, defiant, wanting to do its own thing. And you know the bad thing about these, about that illustration? A heifer, they dig in their front legs and they won't budge. They won't listen. They won't listen to reason. You know, a backslider will get to that place where they just won't listen. They won't hear, they won't heed, they won't hearken, they won't obey. They have set their course, changed their mind, and now they're being filled with their own ways. Now, if you're thinking, you know, Brother Rusty, I'm seeing some of myself in this. What can I do? If you feel like maybe you've been slipping, maybe just a little bit, or maybe a lot, slipping back into old doubts or fears or ungodly habits or ways, or just feel your love for the Lord waning, your appetite for the things of God waning, what can I do? I'm glad you asked that question, because I want to tell you what to do. First of all, you got to recognize that you're slipping. That's first and foremost. A man who doesn't think he's slipping, you won't take corrective measures. But if you can admit to yourself, I'm slipping. I'm just not where I should be. I'm not progressing. I find myself sliding a little backwards here in some ways. Then recognize this. Your anchor has slipped. Now, if you're a boater, and even if you're not, you know how important an anchor is. Not long ago, I was anchored, and the current was splashing hard against me, running hard against me. I was anchored so I was safe, but there were rocks right behind me. Actually, it was a big concrete wall. And while the waves were crashing, as long as I stayed anchored, I'm safe. But you know, if that anchor pulls loose, I'm heading for danger in a hurry. And you always have to make sure, always have to make sure that your anchor's holding. Amen. Always. Because the current against you is powerful. It's strong. The waves can be strong. They beat against your hull. And you always want to be pointed up current, upstream. You know, the Christian life is lived swimming against the current. You swim against the current every day of your life. The current of modern thinking, the current of this world's opinions, the current of this world's philosophy of life and values. You are swimming up current every single day of your life. You fight the tide. It's always against you, always. Because this world is against Christ, and this world is against Christ who is in you. So you always find yourself swimming against the current. Here's something you can learn real quickly. Dead things, garbage, trash of all kinds always goes with the flow. All the trash goes with the current. Last week we had some tremendous rain right here, 4 inches of rain. And that big canal right there, I stood out there and watched as those big giant pumps right here cranked full to capacity and were yanking water out of these drainage canals. Boy, you talk about a current. And you know what was flowing with the current? Garbage. Trash. Refuse. The discards of the world. Logs, pieces of junk, trash, plastic, flowing with the current. Dead stuff. It all flows with the current. You and me, we have to fight that current every day. You have to swim against the tide of popular opinion and the world's approval. You will not have this world's approval. Give up on the idea. The world's not going to like you. Give up on that idea. Give up on the idea of being popular and praised by the world. If the world praises you, you're doing something wrong. The world only praises its own. The world loves its own, the Bible says. And this world crucified our Savior. Nature itself knows that it's the dead and the dying that flow with the current. Nature knows it. The predatory fish, you know where they go? They go to a place where the bait comes swimming, comes flowing with the current. The big predators are just on the edge. Here comes this poor little shrimp, poor little fish, and the predators are right there to devour. Well, boy, there's a spiritual picture there too. The devil's just like that. You flow with this current of this world, you become his victim very quickly. You're already halfway in his grasp. The devourer knows right where to go. Catch what's flowing with the current. So the question we ask ourselves, am I adrift? Has my anchor slipped? I once withstood these currents. I once fought against it. Am I now compromising my faith and going with the flow of the world? Y'all awake? Is your anchor holding firm to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we have him as the anchor of our soul, our faith, our hope. He's the anchor of our soul. But if you find that you are weakening in your resistance to this world and its ways, weakening in your resistance to sin and temptation, if sin is making headway in your life, then you find yourself sliding backwards. Your anchor is slipping. You know, as a Christian, let me just make it as clear as I can. If you're a Christian, nobody slips towards holiness. They always slip and drift towards compromise. Nobody drifts towards holiness. Of course, they drift towards compromise nowadays, and they call it tolerance. And they justify it because everybody else does it. People don't drift towards obedience to Christ. They drift the opposite. They drift towards disobedience, towards self-will, you know, like the backsliding heifer. And not only do they drift towards sin, but then they have the audacity to call it freedom. Well, I'm free. I'm not bound like you all. I'm free. You're not free to drift into sin. And there are so many who once stood firm on the Word of God who have drifted. Their anchor has slipped. Now they're involved in things and practices that were unimaginable not long ago. Broke my heart. I think I might have even mentioned this, but it broke my heart recently to hear of a young friend of mine Again, younger than me, so he's young. That was a strong Christian in the Lord, very strong Christian. And went fishing with a fella I know. And the fisherman said that the guy's mouth was so profane and vile that when he was recording some of their fishing experience, he had to bleep out a whole lot of it because the Christian had a filthy mouth. What are people doing? What are they absorbing? What are they going back into? How are they excusing or justifying all of this? Well, you can justify it because everybody else does it. You can excuse it. But the fact of the matter is, your anchor is slipping.
Amen.
Your anchor is slipping. Dead things, sick things, dying things, they always go with the flow.
Amen.
The biblical principle here is Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction." And not only is a wide gate and a broad way, but can I tell you that there's a strong current? "And many there be that go in thereat." Many. They're caught in the current. They're going with the flow. Jesus said, "You go in at the straight gate, because straight is the way and narrow is..." Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. That, the idea is it's difficult. You got to fight. You got to go upstream against the current. "Straight and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." Few. It's difficult to keep swimming upstream. But look, I think here's a simple test. You want to know if you're backsliding. You want to know. Then you can take an honest look at your life. Just you. You examine yourself. Don't go examining anybody else. Let a man examine himself, 1 Corinthians 11 says. Take an honest look. Honest look at your life, your actions, what you do, that is your behavior. Not just your actions, but your attitude in doing it. Your thoughts, what you're allowing in your mind. Your words. Your associations. I want you to just take a look and ask yourself, who am I acting like? Who am I living like? Who am I flowing with? Who am I flowing with? Am I swimming against the current? Or am I in the world's current, flowing along with it? You know, when you're anchored and your anchor holds, all the current and all the trash is flowing by you as you face up current. But if you're slipping, you find you are flowing with the garbage of the world. You're in its stream. You're flowing along with it. Y'all following me? And if you are adrift, you are in peril. You are in peril. The Bible says in Hebrews 6, we have Christ as an anchor for the soul. He is our hope, our faith, our confidence is in Him. An anchor provides security, safety, stability. You know, if you want to just hang something on the wall, you have to anchor it so it doesn't fall. An anchor is what gives it stability. It's what fixes it in place. Well, Christ is our stability. He fixes us in place because we trust completely in Him, and He doesn't move. He doesn't change. He doesn't move. If we are anchored in Christ, we are safe. But if your anchor is slipping, that means maybe you've caught something else in your anchor. You know, I've found myself at times where my anchor, the current is so strong, my anchor starts slipping and I'm drifting with the current. Bad thing to do. That's bad when that happens, because usually I'm anchored by rocks and walls and something I don't want to run into. So, you know what you have to do, and this is my message to us. Remind yourself, hey, we do have an anchor. We're not left without an anchor. Christ, our faith in Christ, that's our anchor. We have an anchor. And if your anchor is slipping, then reset your anchor. Reset your anchor. I've had to pull my anchor up because it wouldn't set. Pull it up, and lo and behold, there's a big old oyster clump in it or some kind of garbage in it so that the anchor won't dig into the ground. It's just skimming along the top. Pull the junk out, get it back down, get that anchor to grab. Boy, once it grabs, you know it. You'll stop dead, and the current flows, and you're again pointed in the right direction. Amen. You're not slipping with... You know what? Sometimes we just pick up junk we shouldn't have. We got Christ, but we pick up other stuff we need to get rid of.
Amen.
Reset that anchor. Because, look, the Lord hasn't abandoned you. Maybe you've been slipping, but listen to what God says. Let me just read a verse or two. Jeremiah 3:22. Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Return. The Lord doesn't cast you aside. Okay, so you've been slipping. So your anchor hasn't held. Reset that anchor. Get rid of the junk that's going on in your life. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know that applies to you and me. If we confess our sins, that's what we do. That's how we reset the anchor. We go back to Christ. We call upon Him. We ask Him to forgive us. We acknowledge our sinfulness. Jeremiah 14:7. This is how we pray, like Jeremiah prayed. Jeremiah 14:7. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do Thy it for Thy name's sake. Do Thy it, that is, forgive us, cleanse us, renew us, deliver us, restore us. Jeremiah goes on and says, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against Thee. And all sin is against God.
Amen.
All of our sins against God. Amen. Oh, you know, you cry out to God for forgiveness. You know that's a prayer He will answer.
Thank you, Lord.
You ask Him to forgive you, He will. We cry out with true repentance and a confession of our sin to the Lord. We return to Him with our whole heart, and by doing so, you reset your anchor. You get that anchor to hold on the bedrock of Jesus Christ Himself, the bedrock of the Word of God. It will not slip. The old hymn, our anchor holds and grips the solid rock. The storms come, the winds blow, the waves beat, but we are anchored in Jesus Christ. We don't move. So if you found yourself slipping, going backwards, reset your anchor. Return to the Lord with your whole heart, a confession of repentance. Confess your guilt to the Lord. You don't have to confess to a priest or a man, but you confess to the Lord. And you know what? He will cleanse you. He will heal you. He will deliver you. He will purify you. Again, you soak in the water of the Word and be cleansed.
Amen.
You know, it amounts to this. You've been backsliding, you've been wayward, you've strayed, you've slipped. Then the great lesson in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, about the prodigal son, you know, the one who wasted, he was a wastrel. He came home. Prodigal sons and daughters, have you strayed? Have you wandered? Come home. The prodigal son went off to a far country and wasted everything that he had. He wasted it all. Wine, women, and song. He thought he was having such a great old time. And then he spent everything he had. A big drought came in the country, and he found himself, the Bible says, to be in lack, and nobody would help him. So he wound up joining himself to a man who had pigs. The man said, you go work in my pig stall, and whatever they don't eat, you can have. How about that? What a picture. A man, a father's son. You know, this is a picture, again, of a backslider. A father's son. So rich, so blessed, so loved, and didn't appreciate what he had. And fell from that because he was a backslidden heifer. Wanted to do his own thing, have his own way, indulge in all of his, gratify his own self. And there he was fighting pigs for corn husks when the Bible says he came to himself. And you know what he said? I'm going to go back to my father. That's what I'm going to do. I've sinned against my father. I'm going to go back because even his servants are treated better than I'm treated right now. Well, I'll tell you, the pig pen may call you, but it's got no love for you. The pig pen's always calling. This sewer water's always calling. Come dip in. Come indulge. But it don't love you. And it won't help you. And it won't bless you. It'll only curse you. He said, I'm going to go home. And he didn't just have good intentions. The Bible says he arose and he went to his father. Prodigal sons, prodigal daughters. You have to go home. We're a sponge, and if you want to be clean, you got to get out of the sewer water. You can't continue to soak in the sewer water and think you're going to walk with the Lord. You want to come home to your father? The father's blessing? You want the father's ring, the father's coat, the father's approval? Get out of the sewer water. Get out of the sin of the world. It's up to you. You know, you have to arise like that prodigal son. We have to arise and go home to the Father. And the Lord will receive us and forgive us and bless us and renew us. Just like this prodigal son, Luke chapter 15, you know what he had to do? He had to get out of the pig pen. He didn't have to get partially out. He had to get all the way out. Get out of the pig pen. Go home. Get out of the pig pen. We have responsibilities in this too. You can't continue to soak in the world's sin and have God's blessing and approval on your life. So we pray. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, Psalms 51. Return to the Father with your whole heart, with repentance, with faith. Allow, again, the washing of water by the Word to cleanse, to renew, to restore. Malachi 3:7, the Lord says, return to me, and I'll return to you. He won't forsake us. He won't reject us. If we slipped, it's not too late. You call on the Lord. You ask for His forgiveness. You ask for Him to change your life. And He will. Yes, He will. You know, my sponge right now is about 3/4 contaminated. All I dipped was this little corner. Just in the process of this little bit of time, it's still absorbing this filth. That's why you can't indulge this flesh at all. Amen. We can't indulge it at all. Repentance must quickly follow. And if we do repent, thankfully, the Lord says, I'll heal your backslidings. Return to me, I'll return to you. I won't cast you aside. I won't forsake you. He loves us. The Lord loves you. He loves you. He loves you. His blood was shed for you. His forgiveness is offered to you fully, completely, unreservedly. From the least of us to the worst of us, His blood was shed for you. If you'll return, if you'll call, if you'll pray, He'll hear. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord, hear our prayer today, we pray. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness for all of our backslidings, for all of our sins, for everything that we've allowed into our lives, our hearts, our minds, our spirits that we should have shut out. Lord, wash us, cleanse us. Erase every sin, we pray, that we've ever committed. Make us new. Cleanse us. Make us whole. Wash us. Make us clean. Lord, we call on you, knowing that only you can forgive. Only your blood can cleanse. Lord, we repent of these sins and we turn away from them. We choose, Lord, to follow you, to live for you. I pray, Lord, you restore hunger, thirst for righteousness in all of our hearts. Lord, we call upon you, our anchor. Let our anchor hold. Let our anchor hold. Let our faith rise. Let all doubts flee. Lord, as we call upon you for your mercy and grace, your great forgiveness, and we receive it all by faith in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. If we've been cleansed by the blood, forgiven, then we're ready to receive communion with the saints.